practice is that every Sunday we light a candle. And today the candle, the theme of that candle is hope. And maybe you wonder, can we live with hope in the midst of everything that is happening around us, in the midst of our own lives and our own struggles? And my prayer is that on our reflection of today's scripture, we will answer yes. And I'd like to read for us out of Luke 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left. Now, I wonder what your view of Mary is. What's your opinion of her? I grew up in a church tradition where churches and people who placed too much of an emphasis, we were a bit suspicious of them, to such an extent that I think we mostly ignored Mary. People before Mary was also foretold that God will do something to put everything back together that sin has brought to our world. They knew that a savior was on his way. But Mary is the first to know what his name would be, that his name would be Jesus. And so in a way, Mary is the first Christian. In Luke 11, we find that Jesus teaches and he says things that has people wondering. And there's this one woman excited by Jesus' words who shouts out, "Your mother is blessed." I've always wondered how she thought of her own children. Maybe she looked at Jesus, she thought of her own children and thought, "If only he was my child." But then Jesus answers her and says, "My mother isn't blessed because she conceived me. My mother is blessed because she heard the voice of God and she received me." And so today, by reflecting on this interaction between Mary and the angel, my hope is that we will discover something of a way of life with God. We are going to look at how Advent shows us how God is, how Advent shows us why God comes, and will also show us a way of life. Now, firstly, Advent shows us how God is. Did you notice that Mary really didn't do anything to deserve what happens to her? She's quite passive. She was on her merry way, and then the angel comes to her with this news. And it shows us how God is. God is the initiator of this relationship between us and him. We see it over and over in Scripture. Just think of Luke 15 that tells of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son. The lost coin cannot do anything to be found. It has to be searched out. Even with the story of the prodigal son, it's only the father that can restore the son as his son. And we see this over and over again, that God is the one that comes to us. God is the one that initiates the relationship. And I think this is where our Christian faith differs to maybe other religions, where so much of other religions is about what we have to do to appease the gods, to get God to like us. In the Christian faith, God is the one that loved us into being. Love has to express itself. And so in the creation story, we hear how God said, let us create humankind in our image. It's out of love that we are created for love. And then you will remember when Adam and Eve is hiding, afraid, it's God that seeks them out. It's God that does for them what they cannot do for themselves. He clothes them. He restores. He brings them, in a way, back into a relationship, and he makes promises of a reconciliation. Advent shows us how God is. I'd like to put up this verse in Isaiah 2, verse 4, that says, I am going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. One of the big privileges I have is to listen to people in spiritual direction. And often people will tell me how they have a desire for a deeper relationship with God. People will say there must be more. And then what a wonderful realization that this desire that we have for a relationship with God, God is the one that initiates that. Our desire to know God better, it starts in the heart of God, wanting to know us better. God invites us into this life, and that's what Advent shows us. The second thing that Advent shows us is why God comes to us. You heard how God, it is said that he will be our Savior, the biggest gift of Advent and Christmas. Now think for a moment with me. Now imagine that on Christmas Day, I start opening some of the gifts that's around the Christmas tree. I open up the first gift, and it's a book with the title, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think, okay, put it aside. Open up the next gift. It's a book with the title, How to Be a Better Listener. Take it, put it aside. Take the third gift, open it up, and it's a shoe cleaning kit. You know what? Most gifts often come with a message. So what's the message that I'm getting from the people that I love? That I'm obnoxious, that I'm not a good listener, and that I've got dirty shoes. So, but in this scripture, we hear that the gift that comes to us is a gift of God wanting to save us. God wanting to save us of a life, of ourselves, that's us trying to build a life around what we have, around what we achieve, and what our reputations are. It's God wanting to save us from our own efforts to try and get God to love us. It's God wanting to save us from our brokenness and from our sin. It's God coming to us as the light in this dark world. And now the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus comes with this hope that no situation ever has the last say in our life. Death in no way has the last say in our life. That's the good news of Jesus being resurrected from the dead. That starts here with his denunciation of his coming. So whatever situation in your life feels so dark to you, the Advent message is that that part of your life is not beyond God's redemptive love. God is able to do so much more than what we can imagine or think or pray for. And then thirdly, Advent shows us a way of life with God. Did you notice maybe the three ways that Mary responded? The angel comes to her, and Mary is troubled. She wonders what this greeting by the angel means. So the first thing that Mary does is she notices this message of God coming from her. You know, what she could have done is, the angel could have appeared to her and she could have thought, you know, angels these days just disrupting my workflow. No, she stops and she listens. And God comes to us in so many different ways. Now, we have to be honest. I think if an angel appeared to us, most of us would notice as well. But God does come to us and speaks to us in many, many ways. Unlike myself, God hasn't developed laryngitis. God still speaks to us. There's this Christian writer called Lacey Finborgo that wrote a book on the type of spiritual conversations we can have with our children. And she says that our heart is like when you lose your phone, you can ping for your phone. And God uses pings to draw our attention to Him. And some of these pings are beauty. Maybe you've sat in nature, you've become quiet, and you have this sense that there must be more, that I'm part of life that's bigger than my own. Beauty is one of those pings that God uses to speak to us. And so is truth. Maybe you've been in conversations where someone has said something that you know, this invites me into something bigger. It invites me into a life that's different than mine. That's a ping that God uses to make us aware of the invitation to a life with Him. And so is also goodness. There's so many things that God provides to us each and every day. I read the story of after the Second World War, there were children that their family homes were bombed. And some of these children were roaming the streets for day on end without something to eat, afraid, traumatized. And some of these children were found and taken to a place of safety where they were given food. But some of these children were having nothing to eat. And it didn't matter what the adults told them, they were still afraid. And then someone came up with the idea of giving a loaf of bread to these children. And that solved their challenge. Because these children now knew that I had something to eat today, and whatever happens during the night, for tomorrow, I'll have something to eat. And as I read the story, it reminded me of Jesus teaching us to pray, saying, "Give us today our daily bread." And I had to realize that I'm not always aware of the bread that comes to me, the many things that I can be grateful for. So at the end of the day, I have this practice of walking through my day with Jesus, just noticing that this way of life, noticing the ways that God gave me bread today. In the physical stuff, the fact that I've got warm water most days when I wake up, the fact that I've got family that loves me, that I've got meaningful work, but then also maybe in the specifics, things that stood out to me in the way that God came to me during that day. Advent invites us, firstly, to develop a life of noticing God, being present in our everyday life. The second way that Advent invites us, and we see this in Mary, is in the way that we pray. When the angel tells her, Mary, you are going to conceive a child, did you see what she did? She asked the question. She said, how will this be? I'm still a virgin. When we enter into a relationship with God, God doesn't overpower us. He doesn't manipulate us. He doesn't ask us to check our brains at the door. He invites us into a real relationship where we can also bring our questions and our doubts. God invites us into a real relationship. Now, as I have the opportunity to listen to other people in spiritual direction, I myself am in spiritual direction, and I will often sit with my spiritual director and tell her about the questions I have about life and about where God is, and God is often feels to me he's distant. And then she'll ask me a question that stops me in my tracks often. And this is the question, have you spoken to God about this? And then the answer is often no. God, the truth, is not intimidated by our questions. We can be truthful in our prayer to God. Mary shows this to us. You remember Thomas? We say he's the doubting disciple. Remember after Jesus' resurrection, he's the one that Jesus comes to and invites into a very real encounter. Come and bring your hand to my wounds. Advent invites us into a way of life, of being honest to God in our prayer. And my question to you is, maybe what are some of those things that you haven't talked to God about? What are maybe some of the things that you are trying to change by yourself? What are some of the things that you are maybe shy about? Advent invites us to bring everything to God in prayer. And then thirdly, Mary says to the angel, she says to God, let it be to me according to your word. Mary surrenders. And that's the biggest invitation to each and every one of us. It's not to just notice God's activity in our lives and our world, but to surrender our life to God. To surrender is to give control over of our lives. To surrender means that we don't know the path that God will take us on. This 15-year-old Mary, by saying yes to God, didn't know that it would mean that she would have to see her son murdered on a cross. But by saying yes, she's embarking on an adventure of a life with God. And today, 2,000 years later, we still speak of Mary because she surrendered. When we surrender, we don't just acknowledge, we don't just agree intellectually with the message of Christmas. We come with our life and we say, God, here we are. Do to me according to your word. And that's a daily practice. It's a daily practice of surrendering my life into his hands. At the turn of the 20th century, an artist called William Holmont Hunt painted this painting that I'd like to show us. And it's called Light of the World. Just the next slide, please. So it's a bit dark, but this painting is called The Light of the World, and it talks of Jesus in Revelation 3, verse 20, say, look, I stand at the door and I knock. My question to us today is, will you again open your heart to God? If you search this image, maybe later today, you will notice that the door doesn't have a handle on the outside. The door can only be opened from the inside. And that's how God is. God doesn't overpower us. God doesn't manipulate us. But God invites us into a way of life, of opening our heart's door to him. To trusting that He is the light of this world that cannot be extinguished. When we say yes to God, He takes us on an adventure of being made new in every aspect of our life. I'm going to light the second candle for us of Advent. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in the midst of a very busy Christmas season that lies ahead and of shopping and of year-end functions, it's so easy to miss the message of Christmas, of who You are as this loving God that wants us to know You and that wants to know us. Lord, help us in this season of preparation to look at You, to listen to the words of Your gospel story. Lord, help us to open up our hearts to You in honest conversation. Help us to notice You in the big and the small ways in which You come to us each and every day. Lord, help us to hold fast unto You. You is the light of the world. Our hope is secure in You. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.